We're going to open the House Committee on Education for Wednesday, April 11, 2007. Welcome, members. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bills to try to go through today, and I look forward to working them through. Representative Roblin is warming up, and I appreciate
that. I moved the dash
one. Thank you, Representative Dahlem. So I do hope that we will keep our comments succinct and move through. I'm going to go ahead and, since Representative Greenlick is testifying before another committee, I'm going to hold off on 3024. Representative Clem is not yet present, so I'm going to hold off on the farm-to-school bills until he arrives. So, committee, let's begin with a work session on House Bill 3345. And Mr. Olson, if you would be so kind as to give us a summary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3345 appropriates money from the general fund to the Department of Higher Education for capital construction, limits for 6-year period beginning July 1, 2007, payment of expenses from bond proceeds and other revenues, including federal funds collected or received by the Department of Higher Education for capital construction, within the Department of Higher Education and by the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development for capital construction at community colleges. It sets an expiration date on project approvals and expenditure limitations, establishes accounts related to the issuance of general obligation bonds under Article 11G of the Oregon Constitution. It authorizes the State Treasurer at the request of the State Board of Education to issue bonds under Article 11G of the Oregon Constitution for capital construction at community colleges. It declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007. There's no amendment. Mr. Chair, would you like me to clarify the difference between this bill and the Senate bill that's similar?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's House Bill 3345 is a similar version to Senate Bill 5516, which is the governor's recommended budget bill on capital construction for higher education. The prominent differences, which you'll see highlighted in your staff measure summary, are this bill, House Bill 3345, includes several community college projects that are not included in Senate Bill 5516, namely the Chemeketa Community College McMinnville campus, a permanent campus for Klamath Community College, the Child Development Center at Mount Hood Community College. It changes the request for Lynn Benton Community College from a library and student services renovation to instead a science and health project and ups slightly the amount. This is in the staff measure summary. My understanding from Legislative Council is the rest of the bill is essentially identical to Senate Bill 5516. This is a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Members, for those of you who are not on the Subcommittee on Higher Education, we did hear, I think, excellent testimony both from community colleges and from the Chancellor concerning the great need for these projects. This bill is one way we can send this to Ways and Means in order to keep each one of these projects in the process. And to continue to fight on their behalf. At this point, we do have the Chancellor here. We do have representatives from community colleges. For the members who might need additional information, I'd be glad to spend a little bit of time letting you ask questions if you have a desire for more information.
It's good to me.
Representative Wisnett.
You were on the higher ed.
I'm not.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're on it.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, we got a summary of the staff summary measure, but the way I understand, the community college funding went from $40 million to $3 million. Is that correct?
In the co-chair's budget?
Yes, sir. And so we're passing more. Oh, we're asking for more? Okay. Which would include these other programs you have here?
That is correct.
Well, I strongly object. We had a plan last session. First time in 25 years we provided community colleges funding for projects that were, we had testimony and one working out of a mortuary and all this stuff. And the community college presidents came forth and presented a list of, they worked it out, and they had a list of who was going to, you know, how the list was going to come. And that was a 2-year list. And this year, my community college was number 3 on that list, and with any sort of funding should have gotten their building. And my community college because of the funding formula, we're paying, subsidizing the rest of the community colleges because we get very little money from the state for our community college.
Correct.
But we're proud to do that as a good Oregonian to help the overall system, but I'm, you know, terribly disappointed in the co-chair's budget cutting not only higher education construction projects, but the community colleges, which is a two-year program agreed to by the presidents of all the community colleges, rank ordered, and for now we're changing that rank order again. I thought, you know, I get discouraged that one day we talk about local control and the next day we want to dictate everything. So, I mean, we have no consistency.
If I can respond quickly, I can't tell you how much I share your frustration over the funding formula. I think I've made that very clear. In terms of this, what this bill does, the Central Oregon Community College is number four on the list in the bill that we are considering to send to Ways and Means. Just to clarify that, what this bill does, it basically puts the higher ed capital construction projects, maintenance projects, and the community colleges, the full list will be sent to Ways and Means for consideration. There's no guarantee, of course, that Ways and Means will fund all or even part of what we're sending them. But as a policy committee, we at least have this vehicle to express our desire for Ways and Means to consider the full list. I hope that helps on the clarification. Yes, Representative.
Thank you for those comments. So, you know, is this bill, or is there going to be a letter from the committee saying that, you know, we had an agreement, you know, these should be funded, and is that list still in the same order it was by the presidents before?
The list is in the bill, and it is...
Looks like number two is Central Oregon.
Yeah. I love it.
Representative Wissner has gone from...
I think he actually objected.
He's gone from strong objection to I love it.
That is the right list, though. That is the right list.
And again, members, I don't want to rush things, though I do want to move as quickly as we can. Does any member need more information from the Chancellor or from the CUNY College?
I would like to just ask the Chancellor one question.
Mr. Chancellor, would you be so kind?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, George Pernsteiner, Chancellor of Oregon University System.
In your mind, does this enhance the probability of us taking care of our responsibilities in repair and maintenance, major capital repair and maintenance, and capital construction? Does this vehicle give us that chance?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dahlem, absolutely so. For the first time that I, in the almost 20 years that I've been discussing capital construction with the legislature, I am able to say that the proposed bill before you addresses all the capital repair needs that we would normally need to do in a biennium, makes considerable progress on the deferred maintenance backlog, and in fact deals with the most important new construction matters on in the state. And this is a very appropriate and important bill.
Thank you. Thank you. I won't ask the community college. I assume it's the same.
Very good. If there is pretty much clarity on where this bill is, I would entertain a motion.
I move House Bill 3345 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a do pass in this condition recommendation.
I think that was for you, Representative Wizard.
Thank you.
Representative Dahlem moves House Bill 3345 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lim.
When we delay this capital construction in the future, this will cost a bunch more. We just cannot delay it anymore. I hope the Ways and Means look at this issue seriously. I hope they do funding properly.
Thank you, Representative. Well noted. Representative Roblin.
I just want to know that the community college in my area is not on the list.
Oh, God.
But that's only because last time they took care of the needs of my community college. And I wanted to say I was really pleased that they did that, even though it was a little out of order and it was interesting. But I appreciate the list. I am fully in support of this bill.
Representative Wisdom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I learned from the Chancellor, we were talking last night, that higher ed is desperately in need of these two, and especially Portland State University. Some of their universities, one of the buildings they were talking to me about last night, is in desperate need of replacing. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
You'll notice that my community college, Schmeck, I think, is on the list twice. That's because his got on last time somehow, and mine flopped off. So please pass this bill.
Thank you, Representative.
Yeah, the money.
3345.
Any further discussion? If not, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative
Clem.
Aye.
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 Excused.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3345, and we will open a work session on House Bill 3476. Mr. Olson, would you be so kind as to give us the summary of the bill we heard yesterday in the Subcommittee on Education and Innovation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have before you the staff measure summary and a -2 amendment for House Bill 3476. House Bill 3476 directs the Department of Education to establish a farm-to-school program. It directs the department to reimburse school districts for meals that utilize food produced or processed in Oregon. Appropriates monies from the general fund to the department for reimbursement. Declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007. The -2 amendment replaces the text and makes these key changes. It adds a series of whereas statements elaborating on farm-to-school programs, changes the reimbursement from 15 cents a meal down to 7 cents per meal for meals utilizing Oregon agricultural products as part of the National School Lunch Program or School Breakfast Program. It requires monies received by the school districts from the Department of Education to be spent on purchasing Oregon agricultural products. Changes the appropriation amount down from $11 million down to $8.64 million for reimbursements to school districts, and has $175,000 for Department of Ed for the FTE and other costs of administering the program.
Sorry.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I might just clarify, because there was some confusion on this yesterday. This, although there are three separate bills, they were discussed similarly. There's House Bill 3307, which has been amended to, as this bill focuses on the Department of Education, House Bill 3307 focuses on the Department of Agriculture in the farm-to-school program. And there's also House Bill 3185, which is a school garden bill. Those other two bills are also on the agenda for today. And this has a subsequent referral. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Members, I'm going to briefly close this work session and reopen the work session on 3345. So I'm going to close the work session on 3476. I'm going to reopen the work session on House Bill 3345. Representative Greenick, would you like to cast a vote on 3345? Your vote will not change the outcome.
Yes, thank you very much. I vote aye.
Thank you, Representative. So noted. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3345 and reopen the work session on House Bill 3476. Members, we do have representatives here who brought these bills forward to the Subcommittee on Education and Innovation with us. They are available for additional information for the members who are not on that subcommittee. And at this point, I would open the I don't know if we want to start already move into motions, or do you do members need more information?
Mr. Chair, I move the -2 amendments to House Bill 3476.
Representative Dahlem has moved the -2 amendments to House Bill 3476. Is there any discussion? Representative Roblin.
I just want to be thankful that we had Representative Clem come to our meeting yesterday, so that we didn't have to take the time today.
To explain these bills to him? Yeah, I appreciate that. Any further discussion on the -2 amendments? Are there any objections to the -2 amendments? Without objections, the bill is so amended. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 3476 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee, where they do pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Dahlem has moved House Bill 3476 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee as amended with a do pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Crummell.
Mr. Chair, I only have one question. Why is it going to cost $175,000 to administer this?
From testimony?
It's basically pass-through money.
From testimony yesterday, and if I don't know if one of the... Would you like to come up?
Or
Representative Crummell answer.
There's two separate things contained within this bill. One is the reimbursements to schools for the lunches. The other is the position at the Department of Agriculture for farm-to-school coordination in general. And the subject matter of the next bill is the agriculture position on its own. Both of these are not going to leave Ways and Means if either do. One will be taken out. Either we'll do it as a collective program and 3307 will die, or this will be stripped of the other position if 3307 passes. That makes sense.
So there's follow-up, Mr. Chair. So there's an appropriation in each one of these bills for the same position?
No. For one is for the Department of Education, one's for the Department of Agriculture.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's two different positions.
And in the end, only one of those will be funded.
I misstated it. I forgot. There's a work group that thought long after I left the room about this. You might want to have them come up.
We'll let Representative let Mr. Olson try to clarify, and if it's still not clear, then we will bring it forward.
If you look at the dash, thank you, Mr. Chair. If you look at the dash two amendments, my understanding is $175,000 for Department Ed is to do the parts in A through C of Section 1. So they talk about assisting school districts and utilizing the agricultural products, evaluating the program, coordinating with wellness policies, and then D, which is the reimbursement, that's where the $8.64 million is spent.
Right.
And in the House Bill 3307, which we'll hear next, there's something similar as far as money for Department of Ag to do the aspects of coordination, evaluation, assistance, et cetera. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Crummel.
And so, Mr. Chair, so they're anticipating a 1.0 FTE to administer and take care of this program?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's
biennial. I'm not questioning the $8.6 million. I'm questioning $175,000.
Sure. And I did note yesterday in the subcommittee, Representative, that the co-chair has been very clear that any new programs will have to come with it, with suggestions of how to raise revenue for it or where the revenue would come for the program. So it is the high hurdle that does have to be cleared. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Lim.
Is this the ongoing program?
This would be a new, as far as I understand, this would be a new program. Is that correct, Representative Klein?
New program and ongoing program.
Correct. And ongoing program, yes.
Okay. Then how would we assess in the future of the program is going well or not? Because it's a, 7 cents is a very small amount. It's costing the administration, and then we need to reevaluate it.
Representative Clinton, would you like to respond?
Yeah, actually what I was going to recommend is that to one of our folks from the audience, because you are going to be glad you asked that question. This is the most assessed thing I've ever seen in my life in terms of the programs that are being done with EcoTrust and other things, and they're all about assessment. So you might, if it's...
Absolutely, Representative. Which of our guests would you like to invite up?
Shall you pick whoever's most appropriate?
You can all come up. We're very happy to see you all again.
That gets nice.
Chair Buckley, members of the committee, this is Michelle Marcus and Ratcliffe. And the question was, how do we know this program is going to work? And it also goes to the question of why 175,000 are in here. And under Section 1B, one of the main things would actually be to evaluate the effects of the farm-to-school program within ODE. So there would be ongoing monitoring and assessment program evaluation. And then to speak to outside of the legislation, someone, Representative Clem, can you hear me when I talk?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always like,
no.
Okay. What Representative Clem had said, he had mentioned EcoTrust. EcoTrust is a community partner that has stepped up to the plate to do nationally recognized evaluation of farm-to-school programs. Some of our evaluation team just presented at the National Farm-to-School Conference in Baltimore last week, and we're ahead of the curve just in like our methodologies and in our rigor around these programs. So I believe that's what Representative Clem was alluding to, is that Farm to School in Oregon has a really good friend, and that is a strong, committed community partner of EcoTrust. So,
thank you very much. Any further? Representative Wisdom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. again, I'm a supporter. My name's on the bill. But I think Representative Lim brought up a good point. We may want to add the phrase to B that Department of Education also report to the legislative next session on the program or success, since we're spending maybe $8 million.
I have one of those on there now, but I would...
Mr. Chair? Yeah.
In the Senate, maybe.
They did.
I could do that. That's an excellent point. And Mr. Olson reminds me that, in, as you know, the Ways and Means, there are the performance measures that would have to be placed with this as well. Very good. I appreciate the point.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Lim.
And as Bill said, it's a report to the Department of Education, not to the legislators.
Correct. That is true. That is true. Any further questions for our panel? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 3476 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Dahlem moves House Bill 3476 as amended to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, usually when your programs began, usually sure. We put the sunset date at least to assess it. I will be more comfortable putting in sunset on this one, but I will not proposing anything. But that's one of the thought I have. But I will be supporting this bill. Make sure the Department of Education, I'm sure they will look after this issue.
Thank you, Representative. And I believe from Section 2, this bill only calls for an appropriation for this coming biennium, so they would have to come back again.
Thank you.
But I do appreciate that comment very much. Further, Representative Cremel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we're supposed to make a suggestion where the money is supposed to come from for this, I would suggest that it be part of the state school fund. I think that this is as long as the feds are going to mandate that we do school lunch programs and breakfast programs and feed the family on Saturday programs and whatever else, that this be part of the state school fund and be administered as part of the general obligation of the State Department of Education, so that they're. So that it gets taken care of in that way. Yeah, it's just a suggestion.
It's a good suggestion, Representative, and I will pass that suggestion on to the co-chair for the discussion.
One point, we're looking to the Department of Ed, and we do have Dalton Hobbs here with the Department of Agriculture, and I'm going to ask him this question because I think that it's as important. I'm not worried about school children. They will get good, fine food. And if this is detrimental to our farmers, where we provide food that is less than wholesome, the Department of Agriculture will be looking into that also.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dahlem, absolutely. We take our responsibility very seriously in this regard, and we will, as part of this program, be very vigorous about ensuring that the products are high quality and indeed from Oregon, since the Oregon tax dollars are going to be buying them. That's part of the role here for the department, is to establish the supply systems that can meet the mandates of this bill to ensure that they are indeed Oregon products and not substituted with, say, wheat gluten from China. So,
would you be kind enough to state your name for the
record? I'm sorry. For the record, I'm Dalton Hobbs.
California.
Dalton Hobbs, Assistant Director for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Excuse me.
Thank you very much. Just to note, the subcommittee did vote on this unanimously, and there was definitely support from the department for this bill yesterday in subcommittee. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm just going to give my little speech now, and I, as my good friend down there is concerned about, I won't talk on my the other two bills, which I'm the chief co-sponsor of.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. So in the next bill, you'll see, and I had it wrong. I'd forgotten about our Dash 2 amendments. You've got a two-person team administering this program, one at education, one at ag, one to make sure the farmers who grow it can work with the person with the schools who want to eat it. And the two-person team is this two package of bills together, and then the third bill Well, I said I wouldn't talk about that. So the third bill has to do with gardens in the schools. Now, having said that, in the next bill, which I'm not going to talk about, there is a provision that says linking ingredient suppliers with primary and secondary manufacturers in Oregon that can meet the United States Department of Agriculture's guidelines for the National School Lunch Program, the School Breakfast Program. So we actually build right into the bill that the food has to be nourishing and healthy, and that's the Department of Ag team members' responsibility. And that's why you're not seeing it in this bill.
Representative, thank you so much. And I think it does help to clarify that this really is a package of bills that do fit together. It's a little bit, for the folks who weren't at the hearing yesterday, it's a little bit.
Oregon farmers
takes a while to get
feeding Oregon kids. Oregon farmers feeding Oregon kids.
There you go. That kind of condenses it down. Any further discussion? Representative?
They get pears.
You'll get Clem pears in the lunch, we were assured of that.
Actually, I do need to declare a potential conflict.
No, I
think I actually have to.
Are you in committee?
I don't know.
All right. The answer is yes.
Might as well.
Yes. So I didn't know that I did until last night. I went back and I listened to the rest of the testimony after I left. And Truett Brothers, who said right now we aren't participating in, we don't do business with Oregon because it's not been productive and useful. And they said this will really help. Truett Brothers, little to their, he didn't know yesterday whether they had our orchard. Well, we're Diamond Fruit Grower. We're a Diamond Fruit Grower, and that's a Truett Brothers. So theoretically, somewhere down the road, one of my pears might go to Diamond, might go to Truett Brothers, might end up in a school, maybe. Potential right. Conflict of interest.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to move us along here very quickly, but I have to say, and I'm going to look to Dalton for this answer again. When one deals in the commodities, you have absolutely no control over your product, where it goes, or the price you get. I don't think there's a conflict of interest.
I don't think so either.
It's better to err on the side of prudence, Representative. I appreciate that.
Thank you
very much.
I'm trying to get in the risk involved in being involved in the agricultural community.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
So noted, Representative.
I think you should.
So I believe we do have a motion on the table. Without further discussion, I'll ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries. A very agreeable committee so far this afternoon. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3476 and open the work session when I can find my agenda. Thank you, Vice Chair. Open the work session on the House Bill 3307. We still have our panel with us.
Clem's not going to talk
about it. Representative Clem has already talked on this bill, and he won't talk on it again, I'm sure. But I'd like to give you a few moments to take a look at the bill, gentlemen and madam.
Thank you.
And Mr. Olson, if you'd be so kind.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 3307 requires the State Department of Agriculture to develop and implement a program to improve utilization of locally grown farm products, including distribution of locally grown farm products to schools and other public institutions. As we discussed during the discussion on House Bill 3476, this also has an amendment that clarifies that this bill is focused on the Department of Agriculture side of the House. And so whereas the program would be in Department of Education, as clarified in the amendment to 3476, House Bill 3307 deals with the responsibility of the Department of Ag, elaborating their support to include assisting school districts in identifying products and suppliers, developing procurement strategies, linking ingredient suppliers with primary and secondary manufacturers in the school breakfast and lunch programs, setting standards of identity for food products, and again, as was discussed, appropriates $175,000 for the Department of Ag side of administering the program. As such, it has a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the -1 amendments to House Bill 3307.
Representative Dahlem has moved -1 amendments to House Bill 3307. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, the bill is so amended.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dahl. I move House Bill 3307 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Dahl has moved House Bill 3307 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
I'm looking at Representative Clem right now. She's the Representative Cremel.
My only question on this is, this is separate than the bill that we just saw. Same, it's not the same, but it's another $175,000.
Correct.
Do we have a suggestion for the co-chairs as to where that might come from?
That's an excellent question. Anyone care to make a suggestion? Representative Clem, you're fine.
I am on that subcommittee. I will find funding for this one. I can assure you of that.
Representative Clem is willing to personally take the case to his Ways and Means Subcommittee.
No, I wonder, Mr. Chair, if there's a potential of maybe a provider tax being conjured up for players, that they farm product providers tax to
tax on orchards. I think that's a great idea.
Representative Clem is smiling, but I don't know whether
he could just declare his potential conflict and become interested and be done with it. That'd be fine.
I give Representative Crummel credit because we have been asked for suggestions, and the suggestion has been made, and it is duly noted.
This is serious.
Subsequent to revenue.
Representative Lim.
Thank you. And so the House Bill 3307, 3476 together, what is the total cost of administering? Is that two bills has each cost of it combined together, almost similar things, about 300 something?
Including the funding for the lunch, for the food program,
nine.
About 900.
I just wanted administration.
Administration
350.
Oh, the administration, 350 for administration.
And then like $8 million worth of program dollars for the food itself.
Yeah, I think it's that, it's concerned this cost for small program, $100-some thousand. No, the program, similar program, $100-some thousand. That's a small bit together. It's cost a lot of bit, quite a bit on the administration cost. So I'm just hearing the concerns I have.
Very good. So noted. Thank you, Representative. Representative Clem.
I know I promised I wouldn't speak, but just for the record, we're talking about one of the most important industries in Oregon, period, agriculture. In my view, probably the thing that makes Oregon, Oregon is our farm and forest lands, and this is the agriculture side. Right now, as the President Truitt brothers talked about yesterday, there are many of our growers who don't get their foods into our own schools. They're doing business with the Georgia school system. They're doing business with other states, and we don't do it in our own schools because the connections don't exist. So the savings in health and obesity and the protection of our agriculture industry for $350,000 for two people to work with an industry as large as we have and as many school districts as we have, I think is an absolute minimal investment. It probably needs more people to run it, but I didn't want to come in and get greedy right off the bat because the farmers are willing, the school districts are willing, and let's try these two people to work together in each agency and make this happen.
As the former school superintendent and representing ag interests, good bill should pass.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion?
Thank you.
Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Dahlem?
Aye.
Representative Greenleg?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative Crummel?
Aye.
Representative Lim?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative
Lucnet?
Aye.
Chair
Buckley? Aye. The motion carries. We're going to go ahead and close the work session on House Bill 3307 and open the work session on House Bill 3185. Mr. Olson, would you please provide the summary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3185 directs the Department of Education to establish a school garden program, directs the department to award grants to school districts for garden-based education programs and field trips to educational farms, appropriates money from the general fund to the Department of Education for grants, declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007. Mr. Chair, I note, Representative Clem could provide some clarification. It's currently written, House Bill 3185 appropriates an undetermined amount of funds to the Department of Education, and thus has a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. It has a blank line for the amount of appropriated. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Jim, again, this was heard yesterday in the Subcommittee on Education Innovation. There was tremendous enthusiasm in the room during this discussion, and I want to make sure there's a chance to discuss even before a motion is made if you need any additional information on this bill. Then I would enter Representative Greenock.
Yeah, I'd really like to ask members of the committee to talk about this bill. I think school gardens are great. I had three grandkids, went to the environmental middle school, and gardening was a big part of what they did in that school. But we've stripped the schools of music, we've stripped the schools of art, we've stripped the schools of drama, we've stripped the schools of industrial art, we've stripped the schools of social sciences. We're restricting the labs a kid can take. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Can you get some more water, please?
No. Was there any effort to look at this in a zero-based budgeting model by saying, how does this compare to, say, industrial arts? How does this compare to physical education? How does this compare to music? Because standing in its own, it sounds fine. But compared to those other things, it may be halfway down the list or two-thirds of the way down the list.
Thank you, Representative. You do make an excellent point. Representative Dolan, do you wish to respond?
I think, Representative Greenlich, there is a one. When we talk about funding music or any of the ancillary, I even hesitate to use that term. Your concern is well put. But when a school grows a garden, and I think two of us on the dais here, and maybe even the three of us that are in education, all had school gardens. And with a minimal grant, we can encourage a school to start a garden. And a garden will provide lessons in math class, lessons in science class, even lessons in social studies. It is truly a multi-faceted opportunity to provide for education, and is rather cheaply done, and the rewards from a garden, the line is blank, and I don't think we're going to be putting $1 million in there to start gardens.
How many schools are there in the state?
Well, I remember discussing with Senator Mayee at one time, please don't mandate that schools have gardens. But those that want to start a garden, give them a boost. And I don't think this is funding gardens. I don't think this is saying you have to have one. What this is saying is we have some expertise, we have some knowledge, and we'll get you started in the program. And that's where it's really going. I would dearly love to take on music. In fact, vocational education, I could line up educators for every program, but this isn't on the scale or on the scope that they are, and I think it's a good way to get them started if they choose to.
Representative Klim.
To the question of how does it line up against other funding priorities, part of the reason I left the line blank is I thought that was the Ways and Means discussion, not this discussion. So I assumed that that process will take place, and I will beg and scratch along with our allies to make the case that it's important. I just wasn't planning to do it here today. If we do want to have a larger conversation about ag education and how, in the garden we do factor in math, science, business practices potentially, because we've been talking about how in some school districts you go out and you visit a farm. You might have a visiting farmer who comes in every week for the year to help talk about the garden and what you need to do next, and you learn about their industry, you learn about their business. So it's multidisciplinary. That's more, I thought, more of a Ways and Means conversation, and that's why the line's blank.
Thank you. And I'm a graduate of the farming high school back in Korea, so I know what we are talking about. Because as a high school student, we went to farm, actually grow and pick all kinds of vegetables. And I was going to be a farmer, but didn't turn out. So I went to the Western Seminary to be a minister. It didn't turn out. So I became a politician.
How
did that turn out?
Thank you, Representative. Representative Roba.
Thank you. Two things. I am also one of those people who has a wife who has a school, and I think Representative Klem sent an email to one of her teachers who's been working on it, so she was excited about that. I think this bill doesn't try to address that issue, even though I think it's a very big issue that needs to be addressed by our state with respect to the arts education and other things, as having had two kids who that is where their professional future will be in the arts, and how we do or don't. And my father was a vocational teacher, so I have strong feelings about all of those issues. But I also have strong feelings that school districts are have some control over how they use the money and what they do, and local control. What this does is it gives that local control in one other area and gives them a boost if they're going to start that farm. And I'm often reminded, I mentioned it to my wife not long ago, I read an autobiography, or a biography, I guess it was, of Margaret Mead, and who had indicated that one of the reasons she became an anthropologist was because when she was growing up as a young child, her grandmother took her every other year and homeschooled her on her farm and required her to go out and shear the lamb and then make some yarn. And she required her to go out into the garden and raise the feed, the food they were going to eat, and reminded her often as a child that unless you understand where things really come from, you really don't have an understanding of where things can go. And her whole life then became this the search for where things began and the anthropology of things. And I am one of those people who believes that what we do in education is light that fire in each child and finding as many different things as we can. Each child comes with a different group of things in their body and their possession and in their mind. And finding that one thing, whether it is the arts or whether it's math or whether it's science or whether it's in a garden, kids take away one or two things in their lives, and it is the passion that they take all the way through the rest of their lives. And what we have done singularly that I think is the worst in the last 15 years in education is not have as many opportunities as we should for kids to find that passion. And so for me, this is one way of putting some of that passion back, because you get a passionate teacher with a garden, and all of a sudden you're going to find passionate kids who start learning all sorts of other things because they want to know what they need to know to be successful in that endeavor. So for me, it's one of those things that I think is important. And I hope we will continue to have the discussion that Representative Greenlit talked about, because I think that is the essence of what has made American education outstanding, is the opportunities we've had in the past to give kids a glimpse of what their future might be through opportunities they had in schools around this country, which we don't have as many of now.
Well said, Representative. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Representative Kremel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think a couple of things with regards to this, and in answer to kind of following up on Representative Roblin and somewhat of an answer to Representative Greenlich. I think it can be argued that the state has let the schools down in terms of arts education and physical education and music and so on. But more, in my estimation, more than the state letting the students down, it's been the local school districts that have let them down. And the reason why I say that is because I think in a lot of respects, as they go through their budgeting process, they have just decided that they would start cutting out what used to be considered an integral part and core part of the educational experience. And they have whittled away at those and whittled away at those. Part of that is a problem that we've foisted on them and that the federal government has foisted on them with regards to mandates that we've handed down. And we've said, you got to do this and you got to do that. And we've really taken the focus for the local school district off of education and put it on social services. I'd really like to see Congress as well as the Oregon legislature start moving back towards a focus on education and not a focus on social services. With all of that said, though, I think in this type of a bill, one of the things that a lot of schools are moving towards and have been for several years is trying to address or trying to work with a particular student's learning styles. And we all have different learning styles. Howard Gardner in at Harvard has talked about actually the seven different intelligences. But there are definitely four very distinct learning styles. And I think one of the things that an opportunity like this does is that it gives a student the opportunity, the ability to utilize their own learning style in a way that they can learn math or that they can learn business concepts or that they can learn a variety of things. We have an environmental school in Wilsonville. It's part of the Westland Wilsonville School District. It's called the Crest Center, and it is a real opportunity. And I've watched a lot of the kids that have gone through the elementary school and the middle school that border the Crest program, and it's been very interesting to watch them and how they've flourished in their other subjects. I think there are probably, if we go out to Eastern Oregon, I would be willing to bet you that we'll find a lot of schools that have farms on their campuses already. I know there is one in southeastern Washington, recognizing it's not in Oregon, but there is one in southeastern Washington where they do actually have a farm, and they grow stuff, not just cows, but they grow plants and that sort of thing. So I think that there are some real opportunities here. I'm in favor of this, as Representative Dallin has said, because it's giving the schools a boost if they want to do this. But I also agree with Representative Greenlee that our local districts really do need to get back to the focus of what should be the integral part of education, with physical education, music, arts, and so on.
Thank you, Representative.
Are we under a motion yet? I don't think we are. Have any other discussion first? I would entertain a motion.
I move House Bill 3185 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative
no amended.
No amended.
Pardon?
Not amended.
Representative Dahlem has moved House Bill 3185 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenlee.
You heard my concern, but I'll give my vote to Representative Clem and the folks who have specific knowledge about this area.
Thank you, Representative. I do appreciate you speaking up for the arts in the school very, very much.
Yeah.
Representative Clem?
I just want to thank all of you for the package, your consideration of the package of bills, because too often agriculture in particular has felt that the parties were split, that urbanites didn't believe in agriculture, and this is a very different approach to how to help farming. It's not a regulatory approach, and a lot of years this legislature often ends up being a battleground where growers don't want to come down here because they're afraid of the bad bills, and this is one of the first ideas I've seen, just urban, rural, Democrat, Republican, all agree this is a great idea, and it gives farmers a reason to come into this building and not be afraid for their business. So thank you for your consideration on all of these things.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll.
Representative
Clem?
Aye.
Representative Dahlem?
Aye.
Representative Greenlee?
Aye.
Representative Cobb?
Aye.
Representative Crummell?
Aye.
Representative Lim?
Aye.
Representative Groveland?
Aye.
Representative
Wiesner?
Aye.
Chair
Buckley?
Aye. The motion carries. We'll close the work session on House Bill 3185. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for your efforts in bringing this forward. It's greatly appreciated. I'd like to open up a work session on House Bill 3243. And Representative Reed is here to help us with our discussions. Mr. Olson, would you provide a summary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3243 establishes a credit against personal income tax for amounts paid by eligible taxpayer to ineligible post-secondary institutions as tuition for coursework taken by the taxpayer. Limits credit to the lesser of the amount of tuition paid by the taxpayer or the median tuition amount paid by the state at the state institution of higher education. Applies to amounts paid in tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2009. I note that there is a -2 amendment that you have before you under the agenda that makes some important changes. It is very similar to the -1 that was discussed in the subcommittee. But adds in that someone needs to have a high school diploma or a GED equivalency, and it the -1 amendment also adds in a sunset clause. That's compared to the -2 versus the -1. The other key parts of the amendment that were already in the -1 changes the eligibility requirement so that a person must get a degree or receipt within 3 years after high school graduation for a community college, 5 years after high school graduation for a four-year college or university, and also has a category for a person who goes first to community college and then to a four-year school. And it changes the amount to be credited to $125 a year for 2 years for community college, or $250 per year for 4 years for the four-year colleges. It has a subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Representative Reed, thanks for being back with us, and thank you for your dash two amendments. And members, we did have a good hearing on this in the Subcommittee on Higher Education. Before a motion is made, I want to give you the opportunity to ask any questions you might have on the bill itself. Representative Dahl, did you have a question?
Yes. Representative Reed, why the addition of a general diploma or a high school diploma or a GED?
Mr. Chair, Representative Vice Chair Dallum, Tobias Reed, State Representative of District 27. Thanks for the question. I think it's important to give the same opportunity and incentive to folks who could be earning their GED, whether at the same time that they might have earned their diploma or at a subsequent time. The intent of our bill is to really give people the opportunity to communicate to people that higher education is a viable option, and I think that's an important population that also ought to get that same message.
Perhaps, and I just received the amendment, but the amendment says they must have a GED or a high school diploma first?
Correct, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Dallum. I'm assuming that in order to move to a community college or another institution of higher ed, it would make sense for the student to first earn their high school diploma or GED.
On occasion, but not always. In fact, those that go out into the cold, my term, when they come back, if and when they come back, wouldn't have the high school diploma, but would, in a lot of cases, be very good fodder for a college degree. I don't understand why they're excluded. I mean, if a person declares that they're interested, they certainly won't make me a no vote, but I think we're excluding a class that may be involved.
I'm going to let Representative Roblin respond.
I guess my only thing, and I agree with you, I think there are a number of students who go to community colleges as the step where they go and they don't finish a high school diploma. I think the one thing that this bill does do, though, is it does send a message that the state is saying, we want you to finish the one and start the next. And therefore, they're saying, you know, complete your high school diploma or your GED, and then go on and then get your college education, and because of the reward, it is another one of those things that we are rewarding finishing the other part of your program, which I think has some benefits. Sometimes we talk about the problem with the SIM and CAM was there was no value in it. Here we're starting to say there is a value in getting a high school diploma. There is a value in, you know, getting that, and it means that the state will invest a little bit more in you in community college. I'm not saying that I can see why we would want to say let's give an advantage to anyone who wants to go and finish the college. So I understand that, but I can see both points on this.
This is a large point for me, because what we're doing is looking at this. We're looking at this advantage through the prism of the institution.
That's true.
We're not looking at this advantage and giving it to students or children of Oregon.
Well, if I can respond briefly, because I do believe one of the main ideas behind this is almost as a marketing tool for students who are currently going to high school to actually to say to them, and I think I've referenced this before, being in an AP class, 28 high school students, and asking them, you know, so where do you plan to go next year? And only 4 out of the 28 students were actually planning to go on to college because they believed they couldn't afford it. They hadn't even looked into their ability to afford higher education. And what I believe Representative Reed is getting to with this bill is to basically be able to make the point by saying you can not only afford it with the shared responsibility model that we're going to make attempt to bring forward, but if you do get there and you do fall through and get that degree, we're going to help you when you get out as well in the first steps out.
And in that concept, absolute concurrence. Absolute.
Any additional questions for Representative Reed? Representative Cromwell?
No, never mind.
We did. Representative Reed also brought a nice chart for us that shows the numbers of students that attend college and the percent that graduates within the time periods reflected in his proposal.
Mr. Chair, one note of clarification on that chart. You might, if you were like me, you'd add up the numbers on the second line, 41, 30, and 8, and wonder what happened to the other folks. Those are folks who are going to institutions out of state or to other institutions that wouldn't be community colleges or four-year institutions.
Thank you, Representative. I would entertain a motion.
I move the dash 2 amendment to House Bill 3243.
Representative Dahlem has moved the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3243. Is there any discussion? Representative Krell.
The dash 2 amendments, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I guess I still have a concern. I understand what is trying to be done here. But I think that we are, by not including schools that are for-profit, that may appeal to a particular student better than a state school or a private institution, such as Linfield, Lewis and Clark, Willamette, I guess the more traditional type of schools, by excluding the non-traditional type of schools, I think that we're missing a segment, and it's kind of like we're saying, you know, we don't care if that works better for you. If it doesn't fit into this mold, then it can't, then it's not going to work for this bill. I like the idea of the tax credit. I'm just disturbed that we're still excluding a segment of our graduates, high school graduates, that may want to go on to college in, you know, maybe a little bit different format than the tradition.
Thank you, Representative.
Well, thank you, Chair Buckley. My only comment would be to kind of respond to Representative Crummell. This is money that would be leaving the general fund that would fund public schools, not private schools. And so I see it as kind of a circle of how one entity, one agency is supporting another.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion on the motion? Representative Wilson, I'm sorry, my apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for bringing this forth, Representative Reed. I was not on the subcommittee, so can you tell me a little bit why the decision for only $125 a year for community colleges and $250 to go four? I think, you know, some of our greatest students and most needy students start out in community colleges and work on it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, this is an experiment, and I do not intend to suggest with these numbers that this is sufficient for students at either community colleges or four-year institutions. We did spend some time talking about the need to recognize some additional incentive to go beyond community college, so it's our hope that students would take advantage, those who want to go to community college would take advantage of that portion and then go on to take advantage of the four-year institution portion of that. But none of this should suggest that I think this is all we need to do for higher ed or students.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion?
This is on the amendment.
This is the motion on the amendment. Yes, that's correct. Hearing no further discussion, is there any objection to the amendments?
I'm going to object to the amendments on the basis that I mentioned earlier.
Very good.
Once the amendment passes and is in the bill, I'm going to support the bill, Mr. Chair, but I wanted to get on the record that I am disturbed that we're leaving out a segment of students that they're still in Oregon, and they're still going to be going to school in Oregon. And just because the school that they decide to go to has whatever program they can... I
will stop. Well noted. Thank you, Representative. We'll go ahead and ask the clerk to call the roll, please, on the amendment. Excused.
Aye.
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 No.
Representative
Lim.
Aye.
Representative
Roblin.
Aye.
Representative
Wisman. Aye. The motion carries. Representative Dolan, would you be so kind?
Yes, I would. In fact, I'm very very pleased to bring a tax credit to students. I'm very pleased to stimulate attendance at our Oregon University system. Therefore, I move House Bill to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Dahlem has moved my favorite tax credit, House Bill 1343, to the Committee on Revenue as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Representative Greenlick.
As I said in the subcommittee meeting, we're in a situation where we collect, what, $15 billion a year biennium in taxes, and we don't collect $30 billion a year in taxes because of the tax credits and the tax deduction. So I've been generally making it a principle to vote against tax credits. I am going to vote yes today, and I will probably vote yes on the floor, because I think this is a tax credit that makes some sense. It has a sunset on it, and I want to support Representative Reed. But I do think until we get some control over the tax expenditures, we ought to not be putting, as a general principle at least, new tax credits into the books. But
Representative Sonoda,
yes, sir.
I made a deal with the co-chair as well in terms of any tax credit suggested that we suggest tax credits that could sunset, and I have made a proposal on 8 specific ones. I'm trying to do my part, Representative,
that's great.
To keep to the co-chair's request.
Just don't touch the pornography tax credit.
We'll strike that from the record. Thank you. Representative
I did think I had something noteworthy to say, but I don't know after that.
I hope my wife's not listening.
When Representative Reed talked to me about whether I like this concept or not, I share with him I'm very, very supportive. I've done a lot of research in different states about what kind of incentives do they have for the students to stay in state and attend their colleges. And the state of Florida, literally, if you keep a certain GPA and have all these wonderful things, like you have great attendance and all this, they pay for their students to go to an in-state institution all the way through, but they have to live in their state for X amount of years after they're finished. And so there are some really innovative things happening in other states, and if this is a beginning to help us go that direction, I think it's a great beginning.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to say I would support that Florida notion in a minute. It would come out of general revenue. We decided we need to spend it. We'd find a way to fund it. And I think that's exactly what we should do. I think Tennessee's done a very similar thing. I think however giving a tax credit is weak. For one thing, most of these folks don't have a lot of income.
Right.
So I mean, one of the things a tax credit is kind of minimal because they don't pay taxes mostly. But no, I think that is the kind of decision we should make. I think we should support things flat out.
I'd ask all my committee members to visit with Fred Smith, president of the Klamath Community College, because he has a notion that with a very, very small part of our educational dollars, we could pay student loans for anybody that finished in a timely manner. And I think I think we should at one time make it a point to talk with President Smith. I think he'll be delighted.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Lim.
Thank you very much. And I believe in the philosophy of a smaller and efficient government. I believe that is the Republican principle, which I am. And by giving back to the student going for higher education, that's the one way to make the government smaller and efficiently use tax dollars for the student, enhancing the education. And so that's one of the reasons. And the second, I just want to reiterate again, the Chancellor mentioned that by doing so, we don't want to send the wrong message that this is the way we funded the higher education. And the higher education is already disinvested, and we need to make sure that the message is clear. This is not the way we fund the education. This is just one part, but the higher education issue is another matter.
Thank you, Representative. Well said. Any further comments? Seeing none, Representative Clem, we are under a motion to move House Bill 3243 as amended to the Department of Revenue, the Revenue Committee. And without further discussion, will the clerk please call the roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries. We close the. Thank you, Representative Reed. Fine work. Thank you very much. I close the work session on House Bill 3243. I'm going to wonder why I don't have my glasses on. And I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 3024. Mr. Olson, would you please read the summary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3024 changes the name of the Oregon Health and Science University Board of Directors to the Portland Metropolitan University's Board of Directors and expands the membership from 10 to 15 members. Establishes Portland State University as a public corporation under control of Portland Metropolitan University Board of Directors. Removes Portland State University from the Oregon University System for Business Matters. Declares legislative intent regarding Portland State University budgeting and funding, and becomes operative July 1st, 2009. Says a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Members, this bill was heard by the Subcommittee on Higher Education. Representative Greenick is here to answer any questions on it. Our intent is to move this to Ways and Means. If I can make reference, there is a study being performed by the Board of Higher Education concerning the this proposed merger. That study will not be available till April 25th at the earliest, we were told. And in this manner, we can move this bill to Ways and Means, and it will be there when the study comes out for the use of the Ways and Means Committee to consider. And with that said, we do have the chancellors here. We can any questions for Representative Greenlick? Any discussion prior to a motion?
Yeah, can I make just a brief statement, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely, Representative Greenlick.
As I said in the in the subcommittee, this bill comes from 40 years of loving service to both of these institutions, which I think very highly of, and I've worked very closely. I've been a department chair at one. I've been taught 50 classes at the other. It's something that I've been looking at for a long time, and I think there are a variety of reasons, which I won't go into at the moment now, which we'll discuss quite a bit. I think this is an ideal time to do this. I think we've just lost the president of Portland State, or are about to lose the president of Portland State. We have a new president at OHSU who doesn't carry a lot of baggage with him except medical baggage, a medical bag which he uses very still uses very well, at least on Fridays. But one of the criticisms has been in the discussions in the both the 2003 and the 2005 sessions that there really hasn't been an independent study of the idea. This has been Mitch's wacky idea. I think I can make a very strong case for it, but the fact is that's a legitimate criticism. And I did urge the Chancellor to commission a study. We do have a study coming, I hope the last week in April, but because we're under the strict timelines that we are, I would not be recommending this motion at the time. We have to act on all same house bills by the end of the month. I don't think there's any way to really have that discussion. So I would really urge us to move it to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. That will allow us to revive the discussion in one of the committees that's still open. It's going to ultimately have to get to Ways and Means anyway because it's going to have a significant fiscal on it. But it will allow us to have that discussion with the report. And the report might say, this is the dumbest idea since injecting air into white bread, but it might also not say that, and I think it'll be very interesting to look for it. So I do appreciate you moving it, and I do ask support of my colleagues.
I am reluctant to sign, and I did sign on to this bill, but I'm really reluctant to sign on to a bill that might prove my colleague the what?
And Representative, just for the record, I have heard it described as Mitch's wacky idea. It is so you say no. But
I have that on my information sheet. What is this wacky idea Mitch is proposing?
President Roble.
I was involved with Mitch last year when he had this discussion, and I am, you know, this to me is the same as Mitch's discussion about music and the arts in high school. From my perspective, our state has underinvested in higher education forever, and the states that have institutions that rise to the level of being, you know, the world-class research institutions are in states where they invest in that, whether that be California or Washington on either side of us, and that this may or may not, and I really appreciate the study. That is really, I think, an important part for mine. But until we as a legislature and as a state decide that we want to invest in these institutions in such a way that they can become those world-class, I don't know that this will work. I'm waiting for the study because I really want to see it. And I think we have, as a state, made a really poor choice in how we go about doing things to have funded them, because I see the investment with respect to the economic development of these other states because of these institutions. Having a world-class institution, it does nothing but help your state economically and everything else. So I absolutely agree with Mitch on why he has the purpose of this bill. I just think this isn't necessarily... It's like the other funding, so that's...
Mr. Chair, if I comment...
Representative Greenlee?
Representative Roseland is exactly right. I voted against every higher ed budget that's come my way since I've been in the legislature and made that same speech you have.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what happens if the state's not going to support a school, you have to give it the freedom to move in the way it can. When OHSU requested approval to move out of the system of higher education, it said, you know, you're not funding us. You were 30%. You're now down to, at that time, 12% or something like this of our medical school budget. At least give us the opportunity to free up from a business perspective, not from an educational perspective, but a business perspective. In that time, the medical schools moved from where it was about 38th among medical schools and NIH grants to about 22nd or 23rd. I mean, it's moved a long way. It's found ways to develop its support. It seems to me PSU could do the same thing if it were part of a comprehensive university that included what is a world-class institution on the health sciences side, to become a part of a comprehensive institution, put those things together, and give them some flexibility to move in the way, to keep at least providing the education support we're providing now, which is, you know, there's more in our prison budget than there is in our higher ed budget now, as I think we all know. Find a way to support these institutions, but at least give it the freedom and the support to move. I think we need a world-class institution in the metro area, at least a national-class institution, and I can't see any other way to get there. This may not get us there, but I don't see any other possibility, and that's what brings me to this.
Thank you, Representative Greenlee. Representative Wisdom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Greenlee. I wasn't in the committee to discuss this. I wasn't last year in the Ways and Means in Education, and we had a lot of trouble and questions about OSHU being 95% or 100% private or 99.9% private and 1% public. I'm okay with the study, but I don't know when I could approve anything until we see the study. So I would have to be a no. Hope you don't hold it against my future pesticide bills.
Boy, the next time you come with some dumb pesticide bill. No, I'm not sure I understand your comment. I mean, OHSU, and it'd be interesting for the chancellor to comment, is 100% a public institution. It's a state institution. And it's 100% state institution. It's a public institution. It has its own board appointed by the governor, but it is in every way a public institution. I happen to know that because I asked to be put on the OHSU board, and I was told the separation of powers doesn't allow that to happen because I'm in the legislature and they're a state agency. That's what got me into that question. But it is a public university. It just happens not to be a part of the state system of higher education.
Representative Lim was next, and then Representative Lim. Representative Lim.
Okay. I think it's a wacky idea. That's what I thought 2 years ago. Okay. Sometimes a wacky idea becomes a wise idea. And As I read in the Bible, sometimes the builders thrown away the stone that became the cornerstone of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that could be the same thing. And so I believe this is a visionary, and this could work, make one of the finest, the best institution in the state, in the nation. And so, you know, I support and the respect the Representative Greenleaf with his background in the education field for years. And I'm sure when he's talking about, he knows what he's talking about. So, you know, I'm proud to support this.
Thank you, Representative.
2024.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Dahlem.
Yes, I want to jump in here. I heard an opportunity, and I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to make Representative Roblin's comments, at least the qualified comments that I agree with, nonpartisan. I'm going to support this study. But I think that the first order of business is funding higher ed and the community colleges at a level that will guarantee Oregon, and I'm going to use the governor's term, skills up our population. And so Representative Roblin, I'll ask you to join me in working over Representative Clem on ways and means. Wherever that ways and means dark hole is or wherever it goes, but I do agree with Representative Roblin that we must do something more than is proposed for higher ed in our community colleges. Are you ready for a motion?
Representative Crummell.
I agree with the comments about the investment in higher ed, and I think that we have, you know, we would like to see a greater investment there. I think one of the questions that I posed when some of the folks from Portland State came to talk to me is, you know, maybe what we should do is just get rid of OUS. I'm sure that doesn't make the chancellor real happy to hear. But the reason why I say that is, why don't we take all of our institutions and cut them loose? Let them go out there and make their way. And if they can make it, great. And if they can't, then, you know, then they fold. But the, you know, and there's, I guess there's, if you want to kill something, there's two ways to do it. One is you just sort of smother it and wait until it quits breathing. Or you just shoot it and put it out of its misery. And I'm wondering sometimes if that's what we shouldn't do with the university system as a whole. And if we start picking off these universities, first it was OHSU, that'll be Portland State. Next it'll be, what, Eastern Oregon maybe? Well, or maybe U of O. Probably be one of the big ones, or maybe Southern. But we just start picking them off. Why don't we just eliminate the bureaucracy? Take the money that goes into the bureaucracy, put it into the schools, and say there you are. Now go out and you're your own entities, and you can do what you're able to do, and you know, the force be with you. I know that sounds like maybe kind of a wacky idea. If the motion on this is to, I want to wait for the study. I mean, I know we can't wait for the study here because it's not going to be here. So the bill needs to move to. I would support moving the bill to Ways and Means without. I'm not sure that I am willing to put a due pass recommendation on this bill without the information from the study. And without more information to kind of go by. So that being the case, if the motion is made to send it with a due pass recommendation, I will oppose the motion. If the motion is to move it without recommendation, then I would support the motion.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Greenleaf, what's your preference?
My preference is very much to move it with a due pass recommendation. The problem is I don't think Ways and Means will have the ability to discuss it substantively. We'll have to find a way to make that happen. And it seems to me a due pass recommendation is more important. Failing that, I'll take it without a due pass recommendation.
Would you care to make a motion, Representative?
Yeah, I move that we move HB 3024 to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Greenleaf has moved House Bill 3243. Am I on the right number there?
3024.
024.
Sorry, Representative Greenlee has moved House Bill 3024 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation and discussion of the motion. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm willing to vote for the motion with a due pass, though I really don't yet know if I think it should pass, which I understand that to be the point. I'm willing to vote for it. I'm not willing to commit. I'm going to vote on the floor if it ever gets out of Ways and Means. If that's yeah.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Lynn.
Just one more comment, and even though I support it with this new innovative idea, and still out there, we need to find a study sometime end of this month. We will get that information. I think we have another chance to assess, even though it's moved out to Ways and Means. So when I read the study, then still I have a chance to air my voice in the Ways and Means.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Representative Wisner.
I have a unique proposal. I'm going to vote no, and I reserve the right to vote yes on the floor.
Courtesy no. Courtesy no. I've been waiting for courtesy no.
I have one.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to vote with a courtesy yes, because I want to see the study, and I want to know what that does, and reserve the right to yea or nay on the floor.
Thank you, Sam Dolan.
Me too.
I'm just going to vote no. It's not a courtesy thank you. No.
I'm just going to vote. Trouble. It's very clear.
It's a hard no.
It's a hard no.
A hard no.
So, can we count? That is a courtesy. Oh, we got a courtesy yes, a courtesy no.
We kind of match each other.
Okay,
you end up with a courtesy maybe, so my love.
Can we vote maybe?
I am proud to support this. I'm proud to support the work of Representative Greenlee. I'm very proud that he's on this committee with us. With that, would the please.
I'm going to call you an idiot.
Representative Dolan.
Courtesy, aye.
Representative Greenlee.
Yes.
Representative
Tong.
Aye.
Yeah,
Representative
no.
Representative Lin.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Wisner. Aye. The motion carries.
He was the sponsors.
Haven't seen the survey.
He won the sponsors.
I'm going to close the work session.
We're going to have yeah.
On House Bill 3024.
Would be first.
Committee members, I just have to say thank you so much. We actually did accomplish six bills in under 2 hours. That's a good tradition for us to establish as we move into these final weeks of April with the number of bills we have to do. I appreciate your comments and focus. I appreciate your work. Is there anything else?
Do we have more schedule information about how we're going to be doing?
Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We have tomorrow a subcommittee on education innovation with some more bills, and then Friday we have a packed schedule again with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 7 bills potentially for work session depending on the action of the subcommittee. We've just posted the schedule for Monday.
Different agenda.
Monday full.
That was we were not able to get through.
Excuse me.
The posting issue.
Representative.
Oh, that's why there's this revised one here.
Monday schedule we have just posted. We have five bills dealing with K-12 construction issues, all of which have subsequent referrals to further committees.
It's full on Monday.
Okay. Full on Monday. Beginning Monday, it's the full committee on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next week, it'll still be the education innovation on Tuesday, Thursday. I'm still working on establishing the agendas for Tuesday on out. And we should have those out shortly.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair.
Any other questions?
Yeah, can I comment? It really has been great getting all the material by email in advance. I think our committee administrator is doing a fantastic job.
Except I had to take his name off my spam, and it was hard.
Well, it depends what he says.
He's the only one of us present who's off that list. With that, I will close this hearing. Management Education. Thank you.
Good job.
All right.